So what I did is about 3 weeks ago, I went to China and talked to people about what happened in rural areas. Before I went, I wasn't sure exactly what was going on. We could see clearly, we could see clearly from the export data that exports were declining in China, but I wasn't sure exactly what was happening to poor people, mainly because a lot of the production occurs on the eastern coastal province of China, while a lot of the poor people remain in China's rural interior. So China has made a lot of progress in terms of bringing up its very poor people. Starting with a reform and opening up in 1979, China implemented some agricultural policies that were very effective in alleviating poverty. However, since about the mid-80s, poverty alleviation in China's rural area has stagnated significantly. So therefore, many people have to find other sources of income, such as working off-farm, including going to the cities, the eastern coastal cities, as well as working off the farm within their own provinces. So what we did is we went and we talked to a whole bunch of professors and government officials in Sichuan. And we're looking specifically at Sichuan, but we have found that it extends to other provinces in China through our conversations with other researchers. So in Sichuan, like as in many other provinces, the poor are incredibly vulnerable, particularly in terms of land. There have been a lot of instances of land takings where the Chinese government, or not the government, but companies can take away people's land for the use of corporations and other types of production or building. They're also vulnerable in terms of education, so a lot of times they have lower education or no education at all. Female-headed households tend to be more vulnerable, as well as minority households. And, of course, the more children they have, the more vulnerable they are to poverty. And Sichuan is also relatively mountainous. And in the mountainous areas of China, these actually comprise about 50% of China's poor areas, because the transportation to and from these areas is incredibly lacking. So rural women in particular suffer from poverty. There's gender inequality in China, particularly in rural areas, even though the Chinese constitution guarantees gender equality. This isn't actually the reality. The gender gap in terms of education is that, well, one study shows that while 8% of males receive no education, 23% of women receive no education. Minority groups comprise almost half of China's extreme poor. These individuals oftentimes also live in mountainous areas, and there are a great many of them, particularly in western China. In Sichuan province in particular, there is a huge diversity of ethnic minorities, particularly the Yi minority. So we all know that financial crises oftentimes negatively impact the poor because individuals already have a fragile social safety net and labor demand falls, et cetera, things that we've already talked about. In particular, the Council on Foreign Relations also flagged China along with India as a country that was vulnerable to poverty. And a lot of the individuals who had been pulled out of poverty since reform and opening up are still vulnerable. They're just above the poverty threshold. So they face increasing pressure and the potential to slip back into poverty when financial crisis hits. Of course, women are more vulnerable to financial crises. They may receive less nutrition and less education. And the World Bank has flagged China, Chinese females as being at risk due to the financial crisis. So they weren't in the highest risk category, which included a lot of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa, but they were still in a risky category. And then we also see, although it's much less documented, potentials for an impact of the crisis on minorities. As we saw during the Asian crisis, a lot of the ethnic Chinese in India were persecuted and experienced physical violence. So one of the main flags in terms of the crisis, the effect of the crisis that has been looked at in the literature and in news articles is exports. And of course, China's GDP depends largely upon exports, and most of the exporting regions and export production regions are based in the eastern coastal provinces once again. So we see this bottom line right here is the year-on-year growth, and this is clearly declining. This right here is the level of exports, which has been indexed by the previous year, and we see that it declines particularly in February of 2009, and then it starts to rebound a little bit. But despite the fact that the level of exports is somewhat rebounding, China needs to maintain a strong growth rate in order to keep people out of poverty. So it's not just the level, but the rate of growth that's important to China. So we look further at some of the additional indicators. First, we look at the total quantity of goods produced, and this shows you both the unweighted and the weighted averages. The unweighted averages shows the average across all sectors, regardless of their significance in the entire quantity. So both of these are clearly declining. In terms of the value of finished goods, we see that there are opposing trends. The first one is the unweighted average, and the bottom one is the weighted average. So what this means is that across sectors, if we look at them all equally, some sectors are really declining, not doing well. And the sectors that are pulling all of this down are the light manufacturing sectors. In terms of the weighted average, the reason that it's increasing is because a lot of the primary sectors, subsectors, and the heavy manufacturing industries are doing well. I believe, although it's hard to know for sure just from the data, but I believe because of the fiscal stimulus package, which has really spurred infrastructure construction and other types of construction. I don't know how well you can see this. This is employment, not unemployment, but employment. And you can see that between Q4 of 2008 and Q1 of 2009, employment, particularly, these are the 10 richest provinces, employment plummeted, particularly in provinces that export the most. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the provinces, but those would include Zhejiang province. That was the one that experienced the greatest drop. And then secondly, Shanghai, Sichuan, Jiangsu, Hebei, Liaoning, and Guangdong. So that is pretty significant. So although results are mixed in terms of what's happening in output, it's very clear that employment is dropping off. In addition, so these are the official statistics, and this does not capture undocumented workers such as rural migrants. We see actually that rural migrants, many rural migrants had to return home. And Albert Keidel with the Carnegie Foundation noted that rural incomes had been declining despite growth in the agricultural sector, which meant that the off-farm income and remittances have been falling quite sharply, as we've seen in Latin America and other regions. So the rural migrants remit a whole bunch of money to their interior rural homes. So this makes the rural sectors in the interior of China very dependent on these remittances. We actually see that the remittances are more than the cross-border flows, and they had provided between about 18 and 50% of rural income, depending on the study, before the crisis hit. After the crisis, many of these migrants were sent home. It's not entirely clear how many. As we've talked about, it's hard to track these migrants. But before the New Year festival, about 20 million migrants had returned home. And then during the spring festival, only 80% of the workers returned afterward, and of those, only 80% found work. So during that period, in other words, the migrant labor force was reduced. The people who returned and found work comprised about 35% of all the people who returned home. So remittances are very important. They're important in particular for very poor regions where they need the remittances to pay for just everyday items such as food and clothing. In other better off regions, they can pay for consumer durables such as blenders or whatever. They also are used for investment in land, agriculture, or business, or in health and education. So remittances, also as a side note, can reduce discrimination against girls in schooling and also in terms of health care, because they're used to pay for these items. So moving on to our Sichuan case study. So it's pretty clear that remittances played a big role in terms of the rural economy, the impact of the crisis on the rural economy. And in Sichuan, we talked to 13 mainly government officials who worked in various poor areas of Sichuan province, but also professors who did research in these areas. And it became clear that the rural migrant issue really was the biggest issue in terms of increasing poverty in these areas. And they confirmed that the rural residents had experienced a huge increase in poverty. So we know that the status of rural women is much lower than that of men, but it's still shrinking. A, because women, if they do have jobs, either as rural migrants or in other areas, they are more likely to be laid off, and they're already considered society's lowest level in many rural areas. Ethnic minorities also experienced huge declines in income, and female ethnic minorities were the ones who were considered to be the most strongly affected. We also spoke with one professor who told us that there was a sharp increase in domestic violence. Since when the men come home from the eastern areas, laid off from their jobs, they're very upset and they take it out on their wives and their families. So this appears to be a rising phenomenon there as well. From our research, it appears that the government fiscal stimulus package was rather effective. So things could have been much, much worse if this package had not been implemented. And the funds were used to speed along earthquake recovery in Sichuan province, as well as to increase construction jobs and other jobs building infrastructure. Also to improve the social safety net. So these really helped to protect protect the poor and other vulnerable groups. However, we still see these groups suffering. And it's possible that additional fiscal stimulus is needed to help their ongoing situation. Unfortunately, their problem is structural, and the problem is that they don't have local jobs. They're very dependent on the export sectors, as in many other countries. And the rural migrants in particular are vulnerable because they're undocumented and they're treated quite badly. So when a crisis hits, they may be the first to be laid off, and there's really no thought to helping their situation. So we found that, of course, the poor, even in Western areas, have been quite affected by the U.S. financial crisis. And this can be helped by changing the structure of China's economy to make it less dependent on exports, which is incredibly challenging because it's so ingrained in China's economic structure, but also to increase local investment. Particularly in agribusiness, so that people in rural villages do not have to go to the eastern coastal provinces to produce goods for export. Thank you.